The holiday season is a time for gratitude.
Presents all around. Toast to the bright future that lay ahead.
And I still feel like a visitor in the strange land of Christmas.
Aging for me has changed all the hype and the expectations.
I'm spending Christmas alone. Again.
But it's also more peaceful.
What truly matters is that we can hold in our hearts the very special gift that is behind every single holy day celebration this time of year.
This is Crow's Feet, a place where we ponder the question, are these our golden years, or does aging just suck? Well, yes, getting older is not for the faint-hearted, but aging also brings wisdom and humor, a finely tuned perspective on life. In our podcast, you'll meet writers and others rethinking our later years, people who inspire us to reimagine our future.
Welcome to our special holiday Crow's Feet Life as We Age podcast. I'm Nancy Franklin, your host. The holidays are here, and whether you celebrate or not, one can't help feeling love, stress, loneliness, or nostalgia for times gone by. So we asked our readers and listeners what the holidays mean to them. For Ann Litz, Beth Bruno, and Judah LeBlanc, the holidays tell a story of their lives and teach us something about managing our expectations.
Christmas celebrations, as with all things, change. We grow, we marry, and we are enveloped into the traditions of others. We keep what works and we set down what doesn't. My daughter tells me that I've lived a bunch of different lives over the course of my time here, and she's right. The Christmases of my childhood gave way to the years when my husband and I would combine our favorite holiday traditions and build memories with our children. Our children grew up, married, and melded with their spouses' families, thus continuing the metamorphosis of their celebrations.
We don't mind a quiet Christmas. We prefer it, actually, to one with lots of noise and frenetic activity. We sit with a glass of wine in the evenings with the lights out and the tree lit, music playing in the background, and we bask in the beauty of our tree. Our tree tells the story of who we are and where we came from. This is why we have a tree every year, even when no one sees it but us. I don't know how long we'll be able to put up a tree. I hope until the very end. I hope I don't spend my last Christmas on earth with no tree to enjoy. Even if it's much smaller than the ones we normally get, I'll always want a tree. A tree brings light and life and happy memories to the darkest time of the year. All good reasons to keep having one, no matter how old we get.
Back in my early 30s, when I worked at Boston University, I had a love-hate relationship with the winter holidays. While I looked forward to vacation and 2 weeks away from work, I dreaded that much unstructured time and having no one to spend it with. In the space of a few days, our campus went from bustling with student energy to near emptiness. That youthful energy replaced by an unnatural stillness as the undergraduates left for their Christmas vacations, their reunions with friends and family. It was hard not to feel my otherness as an irreligious, single gay Jew who was left with the minor holiday of Hanukkah. A big deal when I was a kid, but not when I had no one to celebrate it with. It seemed to me that the holiday season, not only Christmas but New Year's too, was all about couples, significant others, and the nuclear family, none of which I had. By Christmas, I'd get depressed as everything around me served as a reminder of the boyfriend, husband, partner I lacked. Fast forward 30 years, and I still feel like a visitor in the strange land of Christmas, and still feel the mixed blessing of having free time when I'm metaphorically all dressed up with no place to go. But at 65, I'm not depressed. I found a way to manage the holidays, lower my expectations, and look for ways to find moments of connection where I can.
Holiday traditions knit us together through generations. For some, traditions are the cards we send, the decorations we put up, or a home country's vibrant music, or even forgoing exchanging holiday presents because of finances, or because it's no longer meaningful. Just listen to Tony Lawrence, Isabel Jarboe, Kate Bracey, Nancy Oglesby, Jan M. Flynn, and Warren Turner.
I am 75 years old. We are not religious, but we do celebrate the Christmas season. At least we did until 2004. In 2004, our youngest daughter sent us a two-line poem. It read, 2004, gifts no more. She said that she was tired of the shopping, and that was it. We did no more gifts other than to young children again.
The holidays in Puerto Rico are very festive, filled with rich traditions and vibrant music. They last for about 45 days, making them the longest in the world, starting in Thanksgiving and ending with the fiestas of San Sebastian in mid-January. I am blessed to still be able to celebrate all the festivities, which this year includes my 74th birthday on December 29th. Felices fiestas.
I'm hopelessly old school when it comes to sending holiday cards. I persist beyond all reason, sending them every year. And what I realize most of all is how much I still need to do this. I need to sit down and capture 12 months of drama and calm. I need to draw the whole crazy picture and then use literary Photoshop to soften the edges, color up the good parts, and sharpen the focus on what matters most. By the time I'm done, I don't need a dorky Christmas movie to remind me how very lucky I am to have such riches to describe. In the end, I have an elegant snapshot of my life and year, a colorful synopsis of mishaps and blessings, details and impressions. I have the chapters of a life, one December at a time. These cards, then, are my tidings of comfort and joy. I send them out like little reindeer notes in bottles. Some of them will wash up on shores to be read and cherished. Some will be so much holiday flotsam in people's mailboxes. I don't concern myself with their fate. What washes back in the wintry surf is a feeling of completion. The writing itself brings me hope, perspective, and what the holidays are supposed to deliver to every one of us, peace.
One year, their expectations were low. The best Christmas we had was the year that we were broke. My kids were probably around middle school age, and they understood the situation. What strikes me now is that there wasn't as much running around. And because the kids were taking it well, and we were focusing on thoughtfulness, there was space for more love and joy.
Christmas was a big deal when I was a kid, and an even bigger deal when I had kids of my own. Creating all the holiday magic ate up a lot of time and energy, but it's taken me some time to let that go now that my kids are adults. Every year I still get a pang of nostalgia for those big, crazy Christmases. But I've passed the torch to daughters-in-law and nieces and their partners, and honestly, it's a relief. I'm not the producer anymore. I'm a bit player, happy with my small role on the sidelines.
We live in an apartment now and can't put up a live tree. The first year we bought one, but were notified before we even got into the elevator that they were not allowed. I wanted to rent because of how much rent we paid, but it was right there in black and white, in the lease. Of course, there's nothing wrong with an artificial tree. I think of the woman wandering in the conservatory, admiring incredible flowers. She came to a vibrant rose and proclaimed, "This blossom is so perfect that it looks artificial."
And then there are the food traditions. Ours was the oyster casserole that we kids never ate. Yuck. While for others, it's baking cookies, serving special foods, or not cooking at all, as Jean Feldeisen, Lee Bench, and Betsy Allen, reading a piece by Roz Warren, have found.
Years ago, I baked and sold large quantities of Christmas cookies every year. These days, I don't sell them, and none of us wants to eat too many. So I've made a new tradition that allows me to enjoy the sights and smells and tastes of that old one. Now I bake a nice assortment of cookies, pack them in little white boxes with red and green tissue paper, decorate them with Hershey Kisses and peppermints. And the week before Christmas, I go into my village and hand out boxes to the post office staff in the town office, the library, and any other likely recipients I see in town until all my boxes are gone. This satisfies my craving for holiday baking and brightens the day for whoever gets a box.
I've got four traditions that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. The first is tied to Hanukkah. Being a Jewish guy, on Hanukkah Eve, I always make the family a fresh buffet of homemade latkes. And then I pass out Hanukkah gelt, which are chocolate coins wrapped in gold foil. And I also light the candles on the menorah. Very traditional. Second thing I do is on Christmas, my Christmas tradition is, being the Jewish guy again, I get to spend most of the day in the kitchen. Don't get me wrong, that is a sanctuary and I thoroughly enjoy it. This year, what I'm going to do is lay out a three-meat buffet with a small prime rib, a roasted chicken, and a slab of salmon, along with all the unique Christmas side dishes that, that go along with the holiday. So my third tradition that I enjoy is on New Year's Day. I always make a pot of homemade chicken and dumplings with a side order of black-eyed peas. Now, that's a tradition that's been passed down from my great-grandmother, about 120-year-old recipe, and it's one that I'll never let die. So the fourth tradition is tied to my birthday, of all things. I always eat a triple scoop banana split. It sounds fattening and luxurious and wonderful, and it is. It's all of that with three cherries on top and a bunch of whipped cream and a bunch of nuts and bananas and do it all by myself. So anyway, I'm wishing everybody a traditional and happy holiday season.
This is a holiday thought from Roz Warren, read by Betsy Allen. For many women, the holidays are all about cooking. Not for me. Cooking is something that everyone expects a woman to be able to do. Not only that, but many people assume that all women love to cook, and that if a woman loves to cook, what she'll really love is to cook a great, big, elaborate meal for the people she loves the most. A meal with lots of emotional and cultural significance, with high expectations surrounding it. A meal good enough for people to travel many miles to enjoy. I am a woman who hates to cook, which means that preparing such a meal is my worst nightmare. Even my grandson once noticed that something was lacking. At age 5, he told me, "Grandmas make delicious cookies for their grandchildren, but you never make me cookies." When I explained that I didn't cook, he said, "That's okay. You aren't a grandma who cooks, but you are a grandma who makes up fun games." The holiday season is a time for gratitude. And this year, I'm grateful that I have such a cool grandson.
For some of our Crow's Feet listeners, the holidays are lonely. Divorces, deaths, and estrangements are common. But we've learned to take comfort in friendships. And by embracing these friendships, we have started new traditions that bring a revived sense of peace and joy. As Mary McGrath, Jane Trombley, and Josiah reflect.
After the death of my mother, her affairs were settled, but not the discomfort of her absence. She was the one who hosted Easter. She was the one who hosted Thanksgiving. And she was the one who hosted the celebrations of Christmas. But she was no longer around. We scrambled for a few years trying to keep the family together with various holiday celebrations, but it just wasn't the same. The glue of our family was gone. Soon, the sibling dynamics splintered as well. For the most part, we have all continued to get along, but it's still difficult. The fall and winter seasons now represent the absence of my mother, the one whom we always relied upon to keep the family together.
Christmas approached with dread the year of my divorce. New York City's holiday dazzle didn't change the fact that for my young adult sons, Christmas was just a day to get through, 24 agonizing hours divided between mom and dad. Divorce is hard on kids, whatever their age. The festive traditions of their childhood seem like a taunt of Christmas past. And then, family friends from shared summers insisted that we three join them for Christmas dinner. They lived nearby, treating the invitation as an annual event, not a one-off.
presents all around, toast to the bright future that lay ahead. And for me, the holiday spirit was wrapped in their love and kindness.
Holidays are different for me as an elder. I have no immediate family near me, but I've created a family from friends that I hold dear. Chosen families are extra special, I think. So in the morning and the holiday, I go to the mausoleum and visit and talk with my parents there. Then I either spend the day in quiet meditation, maybe going for a walk in the redwoods, or get together for a bit with friends. Mostly, I'm grateful to be alive, to be part of yet another holiday season, however it turns out. Aging for me has changed all the hype and the expectations, allowing me the grace to be grateful for what is, and to be grateful for my own company.
Change is inevitable. As each holiday and each year comes to a close, we also have the opportunity to be grateful for our many blessings and the coming of another year. It's a chance for new experiences and new friends, and to renew ourselves. According to Kat Stravino and our Crow's Feet founder, Nancy Peckenham.
It looks as if I'm spending Christmas alone, again. I try to remember that this too shall pass, and remind myself it is only one day in the scheme of things, just a droplet in the pond of life. Or to quote from Pearl Buck, inside myself is a place where I live all alone, and that's where you renew your springs that never dry up. At our stage of the game, it is a great thing to get this gift. One more day. Enjoy it.
You know, listening to all the voices of the Crow's Feet writers talking about their holidays and their pasts, it reminds me of all the excitement that I experienced as a child when I would stay awake hoping to hear Santa come down the chimney, or my two sons when they'd wake up and they'd rip into all the presents that we had left them under the tree. These days, it's a lot quieter in the holidays, but it's also more peaceful. I love sitting around the table with friends and family, sharing a meal, sharing laughter, and sharing the gift of time together. And that's really a lot of how I feel about Crow's Feet. You know, we have so many people who write beautiful essays and others who read the essays and comment, but they're all sharing their lives with us, and they're sharing their hopes and their dreams, their losses, their aches and pains. And really, I feel very close to this new community of Crow's Feet writers and podcasters and readers. And I'd like to just take a minute and say happy holidays, and I wish you all peace and prosperity in the new year.
I hope you have enjoyed this special holiday podcast. We'll leave you today with some final thoughts from Ann Litz, with music played by 85-year-old Patricia Ross. To hear the full recording by Patricia, please visit our Crow's Feet Life as We Age Facebook page. And happy holidays from all of us at Crow's Feet Life as We Age.
I have found that it doesn't matter how you celebrate or what traditions you hold dear. What truly matters is that we can hold in our hearts the very special gift that is behind every single holy day celebration this time of year. We wait, as a people, holding our collective breath for the longest night to fade. We wait for the coming of the light. We understand on a cellular level that this time of year is sacred. And as we age, as each year passes, we realize just how precious each and every Christmas is.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And I want to give you a gift. It's a jazz piece, or rather a jazz arrangement, by a pianist, a Japanese pianist named Hiromi. And it's called Green Tea Garden. It's my gift to you.